time is tomorrow?
1:45. Okay, yesterday we started the Dinim Mechiras Chametz, of selling Chametz. We discussed that you don't sell the Chametz to the Rav as a rule. You make the Rav your agent to sell the Chametz for you at Pesach. So you don't have to wait for the last minute to sell the Chametz, so to speak. You could do it earlier. Now when you write the names on the Shtar Mechira, like you guys are doing now, when you write the name on the Shtar Mechira, you have to write your name and your various addresses. So you have a business, your business address, your home address. If you have a bunch of houses where you have chametz, you have to put down to it too. In other places, they're very makbid to write in the house. They write all the details of where it is on the cabinet and this and that. In our circles, we don't do that because the Shtar Hashor, that means the power of attorney document, and the Shtar Mechira basically says any possible place where it is. Now what happens if somebody has two addresses and they only wrote one? So Abidin, the Mechira is still valid for all the places because in the document it says any chametz I have anywhere. Yesterday we also discussed what happens if you go, and this I want to finish today because we just began it yesterday. What happens if somebody's going from here to New York? Okay? So New York is 3 hours ahead. So the problem is when we sell chametz at Pesach, it's sold the last minute or right before the last minute. In New York, it's already 3 hours ahead. So over there, it's after the demand that you're allowed to sell chametz. So the question is, what do you do with selling the chametz? So we learned yesterday that you have to sell it in New York in that case. Why? Because in New York, they sell it earlier because it's 3 hours ahead and therefore it's not a problem. If you sell it here, it's really a problem. Okay? Now, there's a big machlekes in halacha. Do you go where the chametz is, or do you go where the person is? Now, if you hold, you go where the chametz is, then even if you go to New York, but the chametz is here, it's not a problem, because the chametz is here, and you're selling it based on the chametz. Other poskim hold that no, which is, by the way, very logical, and that's the way we poskim, that you don't go where the chametz is, you go by the person. Because a person is not allowed to own chametz. It doesn't matter where the chametz is, he's not allowed to own chametz. Now, the question is like this. So let's say somebody's going to New York, or to Eretz Yisrael, whatever. They're going to New York for Pesach. But they're coming back Chol HaMoed. Okay, so what are they doing? They're selling the chametz in New York. Correct? Because that's their earliest month. Now, the problem is, l'chayda, that when they buy back the chametz in New York after Pesach, it's still 3 hours earlier here. Which means here it's still Pesach. So l'chayda, when the Rav buys back the chametz in New York because he sold it in New York, and the Rav is buying back your chametz, why aren't you owning chametz on Pesach? So the answer to that is very simple. You can't acquire something you don't want to acquire. The Rav is buying back for you the chametz, but you don't have to acquire it yet. It's still the goyis. I don't want to acquire it until my Pesach is over. So even though the Rav buys back the chametz earlier, it really doesn't matter because you don't want to be kind of that chametz. You don't want to acquire that chametz until after the Zman where it is by you. So it's not really a problem.
He's acquiring it for him, the rabbi.
Yeah, but you don't have to, you can't acquire something I don't want you to acquire. You can't. Halachically, you can't. You can't force somebody to acquire something he doesn't want to fucking acquire. That's not a problem. Okay, now let's discuss what we started yesterday. How does the guy acquire the chametz? Okay? So, we started discussing yesterday, really, there's what's called land, and then karka, and there's what's called metaltolin. Tangible items, movable items. Land, one of the kinyanim of Kesef Shtar Chazaka, but money acquires land. With money, I could acquire land. If I pay money for a piece of land, I can't change it. If you take the money, the deal is done. There's no way of changing the mind. By metaltolin, whether it's minatayim or the rabban is in the Gemara, but the bottom line is metaltolin is only kinyan. You only acquire movable items with picking it up. Or if it's something too heavy to pick up, you pull it. That's the way you acquire it. So now the question is, I'm selling chametz to the guy. The guy is in, the chametz is in my house, in a cabinet, in a room. Okay, how in the world does that guy acquire the chametz? He doesn't come into my house and pick up the chametz. He doesn't go into 1,000 people's houses and pick up the chametz. So how does the guy actually legally acquire the chametz? That it has to be the guy's. So we started mentioning yesterday, there's a number of kinyonim that you do with the guy. But basically, one of the key elements in this sale is, not only are you selling the guy the chametz, but you're actually renting to the guy the places that the chametz is on, the land that the chametz is on. And there's a gemara, and halacha says, you could be kind of metaltalin agav karka. You can acquire tangible items through acquiring land. So let's say I sell you a piece of property, and there's movable items on that land. When you acquire the land, and I'm selling you those things also, you automatically acquire the tangible items without even picking it up. So now you go like this. Okay, let's go through actually like the process of selling chametz to understand how the guy actually acquires chametz. So number one, there's a legal document that you're selling the chametz to the guy. Okay? Document is one type of a king. Not everything works for everything, but these are all the process. You give the guy a shtar, a document. That I'm signing a document that I'm selling you the chametz. Not only am I selling you my chametz, I'm selling all the chametz of all the people that gave me power of attorney to sell the chametz. Okay, so I'm not only selling my chametz, I'm selling everybody that gives me the power of attorney to sell the chametz. Number one, then we do what's called kinyan maftayach. If I give you over a key, it's also a form of acquisition. In other words, let me just say one thing. How do you, a kinyan means you're acquiring it. When I do things that show giving over ownership, transition of ownership, that is called the kinyan. Now the Torah says the different kinyan for different things. So we give him a document, we give him a key to the house, okay? And it used to be Chabad Minigan, the Rebbe said we don't have to do it. Everybody who sold the chametz would give the guy a key. The Rebbe says, no, we're not knowing like that anymore, but like when I sell the chametz to the guy, I sell for a lot of people, so I give him a key to my house. And that is, some people give me keys also to give to their house, but that's a form of kinyan. Then we do what's called kinyan sudar. Handkerchief. You know, when you give somebody a handkerchief, so by you giving a handkerchief, he's giving you something else. So when the guy gives me a handkerchief, I'm giving him all the chametz. Then we shake hand in hand. But before that, there's a kinyan called kesef. Now here's a very interesting halacha. With Alter Rebbe is a very big chiddush. Normally, if I want to buy a land, okay, there's a din chayshim mishpat, and the Taz has a lot about this, but if somebody, I want to sell you $1,000 piece of land. You don't, forget about mortgages, okay? You don't have $1,000. So you give me $10 down payment. You give me $10 down payment, and the rest of the $990 is a loan that you owe me. Right? I'm giving you a $1,000 piece of property. You don't have $1,000. You have $100, let's say. So you're going to give me $100, and the rest of the money, what is that? It's a loan. So the Taz says, interestingly, the $100 acquires the whole property even though it's worth $1,000. But, because he owes you the money as a loan. Now, what happens by Pesach? The chametz that I'm selling for people is in the millions of dollars. Okay, because even the, some of the kosher markets they sell for also, they have a lot of chametz. Warehouses and a lot of that stuff, they have a lot of chametz. Okay? Now, the guy is not going to give me $1 million down payment. Okay? So, the guy gives me, let's say, depending how much machida, let's say the guy's going to give me $100 down payment. He's going to give me $100 down payment, plus he's going to give me $100 towards the rental. Remember we said because you rent the properties too. So the question is, what's with the rest of the money? So most people in the world say, okay, it's a loan that the guy owes the Jew whatever the value of the chametz is. Okay, that's what the world does in the Shtar Mechira. Now, the Rebbe wrote that there's Svarim that were revealed after the time of the Poskim. Now, the Rebbe calls it a Shita Mekubetzis that says that that doesn't work by a guy, only by a Jew. This concept of Zokoval of Milva, that the guy is owes you the money as a loan, only works between two Jews. Between a guy and a Jew, it doesn't work. So therefore, what did Alter Rebbe come up with? There's a din Alter Rebbe writes of Ariv Kablan. Ariv Kablan means a guarantor. A guarantor on the loan. Now there's two types of guarantors. I lend you $1,000, I want a guarantor. So you give me a guarantor. So normal guarantors means that I come to you to collect the money. If you don't have the money, I go to your guarantor. Right? That's the way normal guarantors work. In halacha, there's something called Ariv Kablan. What is Ariv Kablan? Ariv Kablan means I don't even go to you. I have nothing to do with you anymore. I go straight to the Jew, whoever is the Ariv Kablan. Okay?
Has to be a Jew.
Yeah, because with a guy, it doesn't work. So therefore, when I sell the chametz, I have a guy, so the guy gives me $100 down payment for the chametz, $100 down payment for the rent, but he still owes me $1 million, right? So what do I have? I have another Jew that is responsible for all the money, which means I have nothing to do with the guy anymore. The guy doesn't owe me money. The art of carbon, the Jew owes money. He and the guy, it's a separate business. So therefore, how is the guy acquiring the chametz? Number one, by renting the area through the land acquirement, he acquires the chametz. Plus, all the money he owes me is not owed to me anymore by a guy, it's only owed to me by a Jew. So therefore, it's a legitimate, especially according to the Alter Rebbe, way of Ariv Kablan, even though many poskim, the Stechemed, the Madani Shmuel, a lot of poskim say you really don't need to do it, but this is what Alter Rebbe wrote, and there's a lot of proofs and so on why you do need to do it. So that's the way we saw chametz with the Ariv Kablan, but
has there ever been a case where the guy doesn't want to give back the chametz and he realizes how much value he has?
But then he has to pay for it.
No, I'm saying maybe he gets a... Is there a
you have a bigger problem. What happens, he can't find the guy after Pesach. It once happened to me many years ago. I used the yeshiva guy and he disappeared. Finally I found him. But there's an interesting thing. It says in Halacha, what happens is the guy dies. So you buy it back from his wife or kids, from the Yorshim, those that inherit him. Because even by a guy, there's a din Yerusha. There's a law of inheritance, according to the Torah, even by a guy. So therefore, if the guy dies, you can go to the inheritors and the ones that inherit him and you can buy back the chametz. What?
What happened if the guy sold it to somebody else?
It's not a problem. Then the guy has to pay for the chametz that he sold to all the Jews. The Jews that he...
You don't know who the other guy.
So we have to find out. What do you mean?
What's the big deal?
What if he doesn't have enough money to pay for it?
It says in Halacha, by the way, the Ariv Kablan doesn't need to have the money right away to be able to be a kosher Ariv Kablan. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't have to have the money in the bank. It is what it is. He's responsible for the money, and it's a Jew, not a guy. So it's a valid sale.
Why is the guy not valid as a guarantor?
Again, not as a guarantor. You mean because the zakal of the fact that the guy owes the Jew money, many Rishonim hold, is not a valid acquisition to acquire the whole land. Because then he would only acquire the land that he paid for. Here we're saying when you buy a land of $1,000 and you give $100, he acquires the whole land, is because it's a loan. But the question is how far that power of a loan goes by your guy. And it's an argument in the Rishonim if it's good or not.
What happened when we do like this in handkerchief?
You mean when you sign the shtar from a Chiddush Chametz?
No, and then you take a handkerchief as a loan.
That's a form of a kinyan. It's a form of acquisition.
But I see it happens in the wedding too.
It's a form of acquisition or legally binding yourself. When the chassan picks up by the ksuba signing, before the witnesses sign, he picks up the handkerchief, That means he is legally binding himself to everything that says in the document.
Even if he doesn't sign.
He doesn't sign. The witnesses are watching him do the acquisition, the handkerchief, and they sign that we saw him do it. The Kanina, and then they sign the document after he makes the Kinyan. And a lot of Kinyanim are like that, the way it works, in the form of acquisition. So the purpose of Mechiras Chametz is that it's a legitimate sale of the Chametz. And because of that, there's another interesting difference. Many people have a custom, they don't sell real Chametz. They don't sell real Chametz because the question is it a joke? Is this whole thing a trick? Is it legal? Is it not legal? So a lot of people have a minig, they don't sell real chametz. They get rid of the real chametz and they sell, you know, things that are not real chametz, like not bread, cereal, no, not real chametz. In Chabad, the custom is we do sell real chametz. In fact, some Boston, Stechemed writes that before Pesach, he used to buy bread. That after Pesach, he should have bread. Because after Pesach, and through the bakeries, get bread, years ago, it would take time. So he would buy bread before Pesach and sell the chametz, sell with the chametz. They had bread after Pesach, he would have bread. So now in Chabad, the minig is that we do sell real chametz. Because according to the Alter Rebbe's sale, it's a real sale. It's completely 100% legitimate. Okay.